And we're going to be turning in our Bibles to the book of James and chapter 3. Been reflecting over the last few months on James, working our way steadily through it, under the title of The Journey Home. James writes his letter. Right at the beginning, he says, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. He's writing to people, in a sense, who are not at home. And for them, the people that James is writing to, home is Jerusalem. Home for them is where God is. And for them, where God is Jerusalem. But they're scattered. And this letter is all about how they can make a journey home, not geographically, not physically going to Jerusalem, but within their own hearts, finding their journey home, making their way to God where they are. So they haven't got to despair and think, I need to be there. Right here, I can meet God. And our passage today is James chapter 3, reading from verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So today, thinking about finding wisdom. Last week, the passage immediately preceding this was all about the way we speak. And Paul sent me something very useful, very good. I think that was from Word for Today, some very wise words about the way we speak and how easily we can speak words that discourage, that dishearten, that deject other people. And we need to be careful about what we say. And James encourages the people he's writing to, saying, look, if you want to live a disciplined spiritual life, begin with what you say. Because if you can control and be disciplined with what you say, then from that will lead discipline for everything else in your life. And so we need to take that to heart. And I know from the comments I had, people were taking that to heart. And this week, as we move on through James, we begin with a reflection on wisdom. And James asked the question, which is a good question, who is wise and understanding among you? Any volunteers? Who is wise and understanding among you? Now, this is not the first time that James has spoken about wisdom. Because in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So, and it's interesting that last week, thinking about speaking, James had already spoken about those who have a loose tongue, who can't be disciplined and control their tongues. So it seems as though the communities that James is writing to, there's an issue about the way the people speak to each other, but there seems also to be an issue about wisdom in some fashion. So what are we talking about? Now, if we had a wise person here, we could just ask them, couldn't we? What is wisdom? But just in case, wisdom. Now, wisdom, it's something to do, I think, with taking in the breadth of a situation. Seeing the end from the beginning. This is about having good perspective. It's about having good sight. You go and see somebody because you have a question, because you have a problem, because there's an issue you want to discuss. And that wise person you go to, if indeed they're wise, what do? They do not speak to you only out of their own situation. But listening carefully to your situation, they take account of where you are. They take account of where they themselves are, but they are also, if they are wise, taking a perspective which is broad. They will also be aware that even learning from other people's situation, they are aware that there may be things that they are not taking account of. The wise person knows that their perspective must be broad, but they're aware that it may yet have to be broader still. The wise person sees the end from the beginning. They're not myopic in their perspective. They see, and in a way, this is about seeing as God sees. Wisdom is about seeing things as God sees. And of course, God sees the end from the beginning. He sees all the different angles. You know, we hear somebody tell a story and we think, I'm sure there must be another side to that. And of course, there's two sides to every story, or maybe three or four, I don't know. You know, but God sees every perspective, everything that there is. And that's, I think, something about what wisdom is. So when James in chapter 1 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. What was the wisdom he was talking about there required for? It was that people were stuck in their particular situation. They were yearning for somewhere else. They were saying, I can't live here. I need to live somewhere else. And he was saying, no, you can live right where you are and find God. You can find your spiritual home with God right where you are. You just need a bigger perspective. You need to understand what God is doing in you and through you. So who is wise and understanding among you? Well, James goes on immediately to comment on, you know, live it out. And then he speaks about some other sort of wisdom. And I want to touch on that first, because James's concern seems to be very much to do with relationships. Because in verse 14, what does James say? But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual, of the devil. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. James is speaking about relationships, about the way people interact with one another. And here, James, talking about the so-called wise. You know the phrase, worldly wisdom? Yeah? I think that's what James is talking about here. That in the world, in our culture, as we look at somebody, we might think, are they wise? But what kind of wisdom is it? Well, James talks about selfish ambition, or well, I'll describe this, doing what needs to be done to be better than others sort of wisdom. So if you want to succeed in the world, if you want to be a success, if you want to get ahead, whether it's in politics or in business, you might go and see somebody who is themselves successful, who is ahead. And they can give you wisdom of the world. And that will mean that you will succeed in the world. You might get more money. You might get more fame, prestige. You might achieve your ambitions. But you will do so using worldly wisdom. When James speaks, and even when Jesus, of course, speaks, and I've been saying this to the young people on Friday evenings at Jammed In, is Jesus' teaching is curious because he takes what is normal, worldly wisdom, and he turns it upside down. He turns worldly wisdom on its head. And he talks about being patient and being kind, being loving, believing others are better than yourself, and all these kind of things. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't build bigger barns, but just focus on where your heart is with God. Jesus turns the worldly wisdom upside down. And James is saying, look, there will be those among you. And they may even rise to be leaders of your Christian communities because they're seen to be successful. But don't trust them, because the wisdom they will give is the wisdom of this world, and it's not the wisdom of Jesus. It's not the wisdom of Jesus that turns everything on its head with Jam Club on a Friday night. I could get Tracy out to do it. But we have a memory verse. And she's balking just at the thought of reciting the memory verse. But we try always to teach a memory verse to the children, depending on the theme. And you're not looking it up. But, and we decided, okay, rather than talk, sometimes we do stories about a great character in the Bible or whatever. And we thought, no, let's just take Mark's gospel and let's just tell the stories from Mark's gospel. And Mark 10, 43 to 45, whoever among you would be great, what does it say? Must be the servant of all. Now you see, when James says, whoever among you is wise and understanding, there are some are going, me, 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 me. And they're wise in the worldly sense, because they know how to get ahead. They know how to be a success. But Jesus says, if you would be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant. And you say, but I'll never be successful. I'll never be wealthy. I'll never be comfortable. And that's the problem with Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it? Do you ever think there's a problem with Jesus? But it is. Because he turns it all upside down and says, this is true success. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. So there is this challenge, first of all, really, from James. If you'd be wise, well, don't go this way. Because what happens? Well, he talks about, well, let me put up the next thing. He says, do not boast about it. And this boasting is about this constantly seeking to be above others. Now, if you've got your Bibles open, have a look at chapter 2, verse 13. Yeah? So, just across the page, just throw this out. You see, right at the end of the verse, it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. You see that? Yeah? Now, exactly the same phrase is used in the original as what is used here, do not boast about it. Okay? Now, in James chapter 2, verse 13, what James is saying is that mercy is always above judgment. No matter what you do to mercy, it will always climb above judgment and look down on judgment. And here, James is saying, do not boast about it. Do not always seek to be above others, to look down on them. Yeah? I'm a success. And I'm comfortable, whatever it is. Don't do it. It's that same phrase of climbing above, put them down, they'll always climb above. Do not boast about it. Constantly seeking to be above others. And James says the result always is disorder and what he calls every evil practice. The result is fractured relationships, hurt, pain, bitterness, and revenge, and so on. All the different things that go into relationships that are failing and difficult relationships. So, worldly wisdom or the wisdom of Jesus? We come back to our question, who is wise and understanding among you? Well, James says, let them show it. Not by their words, but by their good life. So what have they done? If you are wise, truly wise, what will you have done? Well, over time, I would suggest you've let the Spirit of God rest in you. I would suggest that's the first thing. You have let the Spirit of God rest in you. Because where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. And if we're going to be wise, then there's a sense in which we don't learn wisdom. We let it grow in us. We let God have his way in us. We have let the Spirit of God rest in us. And the wisdom and sight of God becomes embedded in us. Yeah? God's way, God's perspective, God's way of seeing things becomes embedded in us. And as we continue to let the Spirit of God just rest on us, we can't help but be wise. Because we're always seeing as God sees, with compassion and kindness and mercy. Let them show it by their good life. It rises up out of them, from their very hearts. The wisdom that comes from heaven, James then says, is. This is a bit like love is, you know. Wisdom is. How would we describe it? Well, remember, we're talking about relationships. What is it? Well, it's firstly, he says, pure. We have this in verse 17. It's pure. There's no ulterior motives. You know when somebody speaks, you know that's what you're getting. It is pure. It's not manipulative, because those who are worldly wise, what do? They speak one thing, but what do they want? They want to climb above you, to look down on you. But you know those who are wise, they speak that which is pure. No ulterior motives, you know. You can trust what they say. So it is, first of all, pure. And then it is peace-loving. It is peaceable. Now, remember, when I mentioned about wisdom just a moment ago, people who are wise have let the Spirit of God rest on them, and I think I described it as the peace of God, or the sight of God, becomes embedded in somebody. And in the same way, those who are wise, they've let the peace of God become embedded in them. Now, peace-loving, sometimes we use peace-loving almost as a derogatory term. There are those who would have peace at any cost. No. They would compromise everything in order to have peace. But you know these kind of people? You know, they don't like arguments in the home, you know? And they would rather give in. I know, you're looking at me like, arguments in the home? You know? You know? But you know, there are some people who, they are peace-loving, and we use that as a derogatory term to mean, there are people who love peace. They don't want the peace to be shattered, you know? You see, but justice, or peace, lies the other side of justice, you see. So sometimes you have to work through what is right in order to get to peace. So truly peace-loving, that's a tough place to be. But peace-loving here, what James is talking about, is those people who've let the Spirit of God rest on them, the sight of God, the wisdom of God becomes embedded in them, and this peace-lovingness in them, it rises up from deep within them. Their hearts are rooted in peace. And then finally, I'll just comment on this. They are submissive. And this is a word which, if you're worldly wise, you know, don't submit. Because the quickest way to get trampled down is to become a doormat. You submit and people will walk all over you. You will never get on. But of course, we're talking about the wisdom of Jesus that James is seeking to encourage them in. Those who are submissive in God, those who are wise and submissive. Well, a whole list of words. Somebody who's submissive is wise, is secure, is secure. I don't need to rise above you to feel secure. I don't need to put you down. I'm secure. Somebody who's willing to submit, a heart that says, yeah, I'll serve you. I don't mind. It doesn't demean me to sweep up after you. It's okay. Somebody who's willing to listen, to encourage, to bless, to reckon others to be better than oneself. In worldly wisdom, we wouldn't do that. We don't do that because you're trying all the time to rise above others. But James says no. It's the other way about. Wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, submissive. It's also considerate, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And James says, the peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Those of us, if we can let God, if we can let the Spirit of God rest upon us, if we can allow the Spirit of God to challenge and just chip away at what sometimes we inherit about how we should live, about how we should be successful, how we can get on in the world. If we can allow the Spirit of God just to chip away at that within our own hearts, to allow something else to become rooted within us. And then we will find that those who are wise are the co-workers with God. That's what it means. They reap a harvest of righteousness. Righteousness is what God's doing. That's what God is about. And if we are wise and we live a wise life, then we're working with God in all that he is doing. And it's lasting. Again, what is worldly wisdom epitomized by? Short-termism. Do you know that phrase? Short-termism. You know, never mind about next year. It'll do for us today. Well, those who are wise do things that will last. And so we have this very simple, straightforward, I trust, challenge, but encouragement about wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it through their good life. May we be those. In a very simple way, just let God challenge us. And this is not just challenging us about one issue or another issue. It's about a whole perspective. How do we live? Do we live in wisdom? Or do we live worldly wisdom, which is foolishness? And may we let God have his way in our hearts.